Glad that you're here. Michelle was just sharing with me, we've been praying for a niece who lost both of her parents. She was orphaned. And the latest is that another aunt is going to be adopting her, Abby. So that's good news. Praise God there. So keep all that situation in continued prayers. And she is on our prayer list there. Well, it's another day. Amen. For Sally and me, it's been kind of a special day, and several of you have given us recognition. Thank you for the anniversary blessings and cards and gifts and prayers for us. 40 years. Can you imagine Sally putting it up with me for 40 years? Thank you for all of your blessings that you poured out upon us. And we do appreciate all of your expressions. And it's not about us, though. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about what Jesus Christ does in our lives, how He works in us. The blessings of human life are all because of God's design and His goodness that He wants us to enjoy in life. The union of a man and a woman in marriage is because of God's design, because God has planned for this. It's by His appointment that all these things take place. And of course, it's recorded in the scriptures of this plan for us. It's promoted as the one plan, the only plan, one man, one woman, until death comes. God is pleased with those who uphold that union and that process. And some of you have more time in than Sally and me, and praise God for that. Some of you are still waiting for that day, and we just pray for you as well, that if that's God's plan, that He will bless you. Through the union of marriage, God provides children quite often who are to be trained in God's Word, in God's ways. And Sally and I, as you know, have been blessed with two boys, two sons, and they have grown, and we're excited to see the growth of the family of our older son, Aaron, with the adoption, and now the expectation of another child in the family. God is good, and there are many good things that come as a result of that. Many of you have experienced the joy of your own children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and we need to celebrate what God gives, that God gives life. Years ago, when we were ministering in Alamogordo, we had a young military couple who were part of the church, and they were contemplating having children, if it was God's will, and the doctors were saying, no, it is not advisable. The wife had really bad asthma, and the doctor was very concerned that her asthma would be her death knell, that she would not be able to survive bearing a child. Well, four children later, that are now all grown and serving God in various ways, they are still praising God, still serving Him. God is the giver of life, and we need to celebrate what He does for us, how He takes care of us. It's not necessarily by man's plan, but it's by God's plan and God's blessings that life is given. With the advancement of scientific research, they've been testing the limits of morality, often ignoring those limits when it comes to the treatment of human reproduction, both inside and outside of the womb. Some institutions keep stockpiles of human embryos, fertilized embryos, whole and dissected bodies of aborted babies for future research and experimentation. And to me, that is immoral, and it's not right. It doesn't show the respect that God has for human life. But of course, to ease the tension and remove some of the outrage, the industry doesn't refer to these little ones as babies. they refer to them as fetuses, embryos, ignoring the fact that they are still human beings from human life. On the other end of the spectrum of life, we have doctors who are gladly giving directions to the elderly on how they can end their life. And it's not a pleasant thought, but it is taking place. It's legal in many parts of our country, and it's taking place sometimes outside of the legal realm. Is God pleased with the way we treat infants, with children, or the elderly and the frail? What is the Almighty God's instructions about the value of human life? At what point does a person gain the focus and the attention of God Himself? How long does God pay attention to a person, a human being? What is a human life? Are people just a new form of ape that has evolved? That's what evolutionists teach, that we're just some evolved creature that has come from amoeba to ape to man? Or are we specially designed with a predetermined purpose above other life forms? These questions are raised, and the Scripture gives us the answers if we'll just take time to read God's Word. We have already in previous message pointed out that God's Word is the Word from God in our life. It gives us directions. It gives us instructions. It gives us the foundation on which we are to base the rest of our life. So, before we get into this, let's ask God's blessing on our time through word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for His coming into this world and dying in the place of all humanity and taking upon Himself the sin and the corruption of all humankind and paying the price in full and conquering the power of death with His resurrection. We thank you that He is reigning at your right side. And through Jesus, we can have the help and hope and strength to face each and every day. We thank you for your Scriptures. Guide us and direct us in the teachings of your Word as we take just a few moments looking at just a small portion of your Word regarding human life. Father, help us to understand in greater depth, in greater understanding, your value of what you have done. Lead us and guide us in your truth, in your ways, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, our source is the Bible, and we're going to go to the very beginning of the story, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 through 31. In most Bibles, that's the first important page, page 1. Here we go. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' Then God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the earth, of all the earth, on the surface of the earth, that is on the, excuse me, I missed a line there, on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So there we have the summary of God's creative act of creating all what we would refer to as life forms, all that is moving on the earth, all that is growing on the earth. It's all because God spoke it into being after each various kind. Our first point is that all life springs from the will and word of God. The will and word of God is what provides life in this world. Over the centuries, Satan has been pushing his deceptive life of evolution in the minds of the masses. Now in our own country, state-run schools force-feed the doctrine of chance into the minds of our children that are under the control of the teachers. And that's a sad commentary. God's word is totally rejected in the majority of schools, and children don't even have the opportunity to hear about God's message of him being the source of all life, that he creates mankind unique and different from all the other forms of life. Point A is that every creature was made to replicate its own kind. How many of you have seen a dog-cat combination walking down the street? That dog-cat combination would be chasing itself all the time. It'd never get anywhere, would it? God made everything to reproduce after its kind, to replicate itself. The complexity of life, specifically the structure of DNA and looking down into the human cell and the cells of animals, there are micromotors within the cells that testify that there is a designer, a master designer, who put it all together, and it had to all be present immediately at the beginning. It couldn't be made piece by piece, added to later. It had to all be present in the beginning. There's no scientific evidence showing the process of conversion from amoebas to apes or to man. As stated by the evolutionists, that's all a big fairy tale. We read that in fairy tale books, that the princess kissed the frog in order to get her what? Prince. That's all a fairy tale. And unfortunately, it's being taught as fact in schools. Maybe not with that story, but that's what they want us to believe. Ancient human documents point to the fact that there was one creator, God, in the very beginning. The biblical record, of course, is the most logical, most reasonable explanation of all the records that we have, dating back to the ancient times. It is the one that was proven by Jesus himself coming into this world and performing miracles for people to see. For life to exist, a multitude of complex conditions must all be constantly present. Can you imagine, they want us to believe that all of a sudden this dinosaur grew wings and he became a woodpecker. And he's flying around looking for another dinosaur that has turned into a woodpecker. Trouble is, he's on the other side of the earth. How are they going to reproduce? And it has to happen exactly, correctly, right the first time in order for them to multiply. And yet, that's the foolishness that they want us to believe. God's Word says that He made everything after its kind to reproduce after its kind, and it continues to do so. God made man in His own image after making all of the other creatures. Since Adam and Eve broke God's law, we see that sin continues to corrupt all humanity, but we still reflect part of the nature of God in our lives. God gives us the ability to think. God gives us creativity. God gives us our emotions. There is so much that we are like God, and it would even indicate through Scripture that we have the physical form of the spiritual nature of God, that He has hands, that He has a head, that He has a body, that He has feet. And guess what we have? Head, hands, feet, right? Body. And yet His is spiritual. Ours is a physical for the time being. We are told that we will be made like God in due time, but right now we have this physical form. In Christ, we can become more like God. He gives us His Spirit to help us to develop the right characteristics that are pleasing to God. God gave people authority over this world and the animals. The world and all around us is granted to people by the Creator to oversee and to manage for God's glory. There's no animal or no thing on this world that is more important than people in the eyes of God. And we need to keep those priorities straight. And unfortunately, we see that our culture is elevating eagle's eggs, turtle eggs, fish, and other things as more important than human life. It's a sad commentary on how far Satan has deceived man in believing nature is more important than man. Jesus proved His power to restore life to what? Dead people. Jesus didn't go around restoring life to our pet dogs or pet cats or the fish that were being thrown up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spent His time ministering to people in need, even restoring people back to life. He raised several people from the dead and then raised Himself back to life according to the plan of God, so that He can be Lord and Master over all humanity, all who would believe in Him. And He wants all of us to come to Him. He wants all humanity. He doesn't say anything about wanting us to go out and convert the dogs and the cattle and the horses and everything else to Him. We are called to share the gospel of life in Jesus Christ for people. God commanded people to fill the earth with more what? People. To reproduce, to have families, to grow and to multiply. That reproduction is to be accomplished by His plan through marriage, within marriage. But even children born outside of wedlock are gifts from God. God is the source of their life just as much as everybody else. And He taught us to reach out and to train those children in God's Word, in the Scriptures, in the ways of God, so that they can serve Him as well. The Scripture is very clear that every baby is made by God. God is the giver of life, and He's the one who makes every baby. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16 is very clear about God knitting together the children in the womb. And God has already recorded their life events in His books. He already has their life choices written down. Now, that's not saying that He forces them to make choices. It's telling us that God knows all things and that He already knows our choices what's going to happen in our lives before they ever happen, and God already has it all written down. So every child, every baby is important to God enough for Him to record them in His books. Job chapter 10, verse 9 through 12 reminds us of the same thing. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 says that children are gifts from God to those parents who are blessed with them. Every child is a blessing from God. And how do we treat children? I hope that we're lovers of children and that we will do all we can to preserve their life. Our second point in this message is only God has the right to end the life of a person. Only God has that right to decide when a person's life should end. When Job lost all of his possessions and all of his children, he had the right attitude about the world and about the people. What was his response? He said, "The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It was God's decision. It was God's choice. Even though he lost all of his children, he understood that God was in control. God sets the standard as to what or who dies and when they and it should die. God began the process of animal sacrifice. God is the one who established animal sacrifice. Clear back in Genesis with the first sin of Adam and Eve, God is the one who put the curse and the mark on Cain because he murdered his brother. Did God kill Cain? No, he put a mark on him so that nobody else would take revenge on him, but he was cast out to suffer for the rest of his life for his taking of his brother's life. God judged Egypt for the abuse that it released on the nation of Israel. God judged the whole nation. We see in the record of the book of Exodus that God ruled and provides for every person. And God used the ability of Joseph to protect and elevate Egypt to be a world leader. And what was the response of the Egyptians to all that goodness that God had done through Joseph? They turned their backs on Joseph and began enslaving the Israelites, eventually leading to the death of all of their children. And so we see the 10 plagues. Those plagues were judgments on all the false gods of Egypt and also a retribution of God against Egypt for all of their cruelty to the people of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. God protected human life through the law written by Moses, which God had provided for him. 613 commands covered all the various aspects of living a holy life, living a clean life, a pure life, but most importantly, a life that honors God and respects the life of the people around them. God teaches the people to love God, number one, and to love who else? The people around them. Those are the two greatest laws recorded in the Scripture under Moses. Love God, love people. Jesus was questioned on that, and we still talk about it today. Are we still not supposed to love God and love the people around us? That's a basic number one principle in Christianity, as well as it should have been in the nation of Israel too. God's law applied appropriate punishment to violators. It was by God's standard that people were punished. It wasn't to be by human decision. It was supposed to be by the rules and the regulation that God gave to punish those who were violators. The warnings were read to everybody. Everybody was given equal opportunity to learn what the rules were and to apply those rules to themselves. If they chose to break the rules, they knew exactly what was to come. And it's interesting, American law was established and founded upon these Mosaic laws. English law was built upon the laws given in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The sad thing is people are getting their hands in the law system and changing those laws and giving priorities and special treatment to different ones. God established a fair, equal treatment to everyone. Jesus teaches us to lovingly hold each other accountable, to lovingly hold each other accountable for everything that we say, everything that we do. We each receive God's grace and mercies in our life, and we are called to pass that grace and mercy on to those around us. But God, in that process, expects people to be repentant, to change their ways so that they are pleasing to God. We are called to hold each other accountable. And that's part of the reason you're spending time listening to me, is I'm supposed to be searching the Scriptures and giving you directions on how to keep yourselves accountable with each other, with yourself, and between you and me. God holds all of us under the same pattern, the same conditions. We are to practice the life that Jesus lived. In Christ, we can be loving, we can be gracious, we can be kind, we can be forgiving, but we also need to stand for the truth of God always. We can be transformed into new people by the power of Jesus Christ, and sinners around us can also be transformed by that same power to become new creatures. And that should be our goal, is reaching out and bringing others to Jesus Christ for that transformation. The third part of this message is that God still expects mankind to find value in human life. Find value in the people around you. Find value in individuals that are struggling, and encourage them to realize the value that God has given to them. American culture has a loud segment of people who are crying for the right to rip apart, to tear apart, to cut up, and to poison little innocent babies that God gave as gifts. And that is a sad commentary. Our legal system, about a year ago, went through a process of striking down the Roe versus Wade issue, but now it's in the state level. And here in our own state, it's still legal to just devastate innocent human life. Others want to euthanize the elderly or other groups of people, the people that don't meet their standards. Just get rid of them. Put them out of their misery. No, that's not what God says. God says to love those people. Jesus came as a baby to a single girl before she was married from a poor family, and under today's standards, she was too young and too poor. What would be the answer for that situation today? Kill the baby. Have an abortion. But that wasn't God's plan. Jesus was born, and we have a Savior because He was born. God sent our Messiah in spite of human thinking in a situation that we say, well, that wasn't very good. And God said it was the right situation. And God fulfilled His plan of redemption so that we can meet today. Jesus commands us to bring the children to Him, to not hold them back, for such is the kingdom of God. We need to pray for our young families. We are thankful for our children that do come, but we need to pray for more. We need to pray for young individuals that they would accept God's plan of marriage and raise children according to God's plan. I encourage you to continue to pray for the efforts of the Kids Beach Club that's coming up in our school, in the Navajo Elementary School, and other clubs that are meeting around the country. A lot of these children are never hearing the Word of God except through these efforts. And so we need to do all we can to bring children to meet the King of Life, the Lord of Love. Christians are commanded to care for the orphans and for the widows. James chapter 1:27 is very clear on that. Black and white, are we caring for the orphans and the widows as part of our living in righteousness? We need to watch for the opportunities to show the love of God to these people that surround us. Jesus came from heaven to save how many people? All people from their sin. He can only help those who will believe in Him. He said that we must respond positively to Him. But who does He give this job to reach other people to? He gives that job to us. He says, go. Share the gospel. Teach people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that He has commanded. We have the responsibility of carrying the message. Non-believers aren't going to do it. Government's not going to do it. It's our job. And we must do all we can to show the value of every human life in the eyes of God. Jesus died so that all people might live. Every person, even the most corrupt, even those little boys and girls that are getting on your nerves once in a while, in the middle of the night, the neighbor kids that are screaming and playing and doing things that you don't think is right, help them discover Jesus the Lord. Share the good news of God's love for them. God loves life. He has provided a wide variety of all kinds of life in animals and birds and creatures in the sea. But His special creation is people. People like you all over this world. And we are called to reach out to them. We are more important than birds. We're more important than animals. God loves people whom He made in His image, and we must reach out to them. Let's be a part of those who love and serve God, reaching out to the people, sharing with them that they have a Savior, somebody who can change them in a way that will please their Creator, God Himself, Jesus, their Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Your love. Thank You for creating us as Your special creation, for giving us life, for giving us hope. We thank You that Jesus has come and He has been glorified by You. He has fulfilled the plan of redemption, giving His own life and then conquering the power of sin and the grave. We look forward to His return. But Father, help us to have with us a host of other people that are ready to meet and celebrate Jesus as King and Lord. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.